What would your life look like if you had a plan that keeps you replenished, rooted, and cared for? That's what this episode is about. In today's talk, I want to help you build a personal self-care plan. Not one based on trends or what works for someone else, but one that helps you live, serve, and thrive in a way that is sustainable and aligned with how God made you. Hello, and welcome to Truth Talk, a place where I help you navigate your life, relationships, and career in a way that gives you peace and maximizes your potential. My name is Ijeoma Anyanwu. This is the final episode in our self-care series. So over the last few episodes, we've talked about burnout, rest, and setting boundaries. We've talked about learning how to say no and about paying attention to the signs that something in our lives need care and adjustments. And today I want to bring it all together. Because knowing about burnout is one thing. Understanding the importance of rest is another. Learning about boundaries is very, very crucial. But if you do not take these things and build them into a personal plan, demands will keep pulling on you and you may find yourself right back in the same cycle. So today's talk is about moving from awareness to action. It's about creating a plan that works, a plan that helps you become more conscious of how you live, how you serve, how you spend your energy, and how you care for yourself in the middle of real life. Now, one of the reasons many of us keep ending up overwhelmed is that we are trying to live from passion alone. Now, passion is not bad. You mean well. You love deeply. You want to do what is right. You want to be available. You want to help. But good intentions are not enough to sustain a demanding life. You need a plan. Because without a plan, you will live reactively. You will respond to every need as it comes. You will let urgency decide your priorities. You will keep giving from the same place without paying attention to whether that place is being replenished. And eventually, even the things you care about can begin to feel overwhelming. Self-care plan is not selfish. It is wisdom. It is a way of acknowledging that you are not a machine. You are a person. You have limits. You have a body that needs care. You have a soul that needs renewal. You have emotions that need attention. And you also have a spiritual life that cannot remain healthy if it's constantly neglected while you are busy doing things for everyone else. Now, before you can build a good plan, you need to be honest with yourself. You can try to deceive everyone else, but you can't deceive yourself. Because every heart knows its own bitterness, and no one else can fully share in its joy. So you know what's going on the inside of you. You need to pay attention to yourself. Not in a self-absorbed way, but in a sober and healthy way. You need to ask questions like, what has been draining me lately? What helps me feel restored? What pressures am I carrying right now? What season am I in? What has God actually asked of me in this season? And what have I added to myself that He may not be asking me to carry? That last question is very important. Because sometimes the problem is not just the weight of the assignment. Sometimes it is the weight of unnecessary expectations, people pleasing, guilt, poor boundaries, or trying to keep up with an image of who we think we should be. So not everything on your plate belongs there. Some of it needs to be scraped off. And if you are going to build a personal self-care plan that actually works, you have to begin by being truthful about your current reality. Yes, you cannot build wisely if you are pretending that you are thriving when you are not. You cannot create rhythms of peace, health, fruitfulness, and prosperity if you will not admit what is exhausting you. You cannot live sustainably if you refuse to acknowledge your limits. Now, when you begin building your personal self-care plan, I believe there are four major areas that should be included no matter who you are or what season of life you are in. So the details may look different for each person, but these core practices matter for all of us. And first is a plan for rest. You must include rest in your plan. Rest cannot remain a vague idea. It has to become a practice, a part of how you and I live. So it may include daily moments of quiet and spiritual renewal. It includes creating a more peaceful start or end to your day. It may include building a weekly rhythm where you intentionally slow down, reduce output, and allow your body and mind to breathe. The second thing, you have to plan boundaries. We cannot talk about self-care without talking about boundaries. I talked so much about that in our previous episode. If you are yet to listen to it, please do so, so that you catch up fully on what we are saying. So a lot of us are not tired only because we are busy. We are tired because we are too available. We are available to every request, available to every interruption, available to every emotional pull. We are available to every need. Can you imagine that? Even when we no longer have the strength to respond well. So boundaries help you to define what is yours to carry and what is not. They will help you decide when to say yes and when to say no. Your boundaries will help you protect your energy, your focus, your family, your time, your family time, your quiet time with the Lord, and your emotional well-being. Your boundaries may need to show up in your schedule, in your phone habits, in your relationships, in ministry commitments, in work expectations, and even in the way you respond to people who are used to having unrestricted access to you. Now, this does not mean that you're going to become harsh. It just makes you a wiser person. So as a homeschooler, one of the boundaries I had to set very early on was not to pick up my phone before school, unless it was an emergency or very, very necessary. Now, this is because I realized that whenever I would pick up my phone to check one mail, by the time I knew what was happening, one response would lead to another quick response until 2 hours later. Jesus loved people deeply, but he still withdrew. He still said no to certain demands. At a particular instance, his disciples came to him and said with excitement, "Master, everyone is looking for you." Jesus responded by saying, "We must go to the other towns as well. And I will preach to them too, because that's why I came." Jesus moved according to the Father's direction, not according to every expectation around him. So your self-care plan should include practical boundaries that help you live from conviction instead of pressure. 3, your plan must include caring for your body. You live your life through this body. And yet many of us try to separate spirituality from this physical stewardship of this beautiful, wonderful temple that God has given to us. The fact is, your body needs score. It tells you when you've been pushing too hard. It responds when you haven't slept enough. It reacts when stress has been building up for too long. It feels the impact of poor rhythms, neglect, and overload. So part of your self-care must include very practical ways to care for this body. Let's learn a lesson from Robert Murray Mosheyne, the Scottish preacher who worked himself to death at age 29. Before his death, he said this: God gave me a message to deliver and a horse to ride. Alas, I have killed the horse and now I cannot deliver the message. That horse he was referring to was his body. The fourth thing is your spiritual renewal. This is the anchor where it all holds together. If your soul is not being cared for, eventually everything else begins to suffer. Now let me clarify. Spiritual activity is not the same as spiritual renewal. So you can listen to sermons, attend church, serve in ministry, and still be feeling dry spiritually. You can be helping others and not be deeply nourished yourself. So, your self-care plan must include rhythms that protect your own walk with God. What helps you remain rooted in Him? What helps you hear Him clearly? What practices draw your heart back into a place of surrender, peace, and intimacy? It may be rising earlier for prayer and scripture. Now that's me. Before I speak to any mortal in the morning, I want to first speak to my Creator and my Father. The quiet and peace I experience in His presence, I find very rejuvenating. For you, it may be taking prayer walks. So there is something beautiful and powerful about walking and praying. Years ago, when our family was in Australia, I had a colleague. She and I would wake up each morning and go out for a walk at 6 a.m. So while we walked, we prayed. It was beautiful. It was powerful. It was uplifting. So yours may be creating regular quiet spaces during the week where you step away from noise and focus your heart on God. Anne Wesley, the mother of John Wesley, would in the midst of her daily chores and with a home full of children, stop, pull her apron over her head and pray. That was what she had. And she taught her children to respect that time with the Lord. So the method may vary, but priority should not. Now, once you understand these areas, the next step is to make your plan personal. Don't try to photocopy someone else's routine. Your self-care plan should reflect your life, your season, your responsibilities, your temperament, and your present capacity. For example, if you're a mother with young children, your rhythm would not be the same as that of a single woman. If you are in an intense ministry season as well, or in an intense work season, you may need different support than someone in a quieter and a less busy season. If you are working full-time outside the home also, you may need a different structure than someone like me whose work is home-based. That's why this needs to be personal. So the question is not, what is the perfect plan? Rather, the question should be, what is a wise, realistic, sustainable plan for me in this season. And be mindful that as the seasons change, your plan would need to be adjusted to accommodate the things that are happening in each season. So, as you build your plan, think in terms of what is realistic enough to be practiced consistently. A good plan does not have to be complicated. In fact, if it's too complicated, you probably will not keep it. So keep it simple. Simple is better than impressive. Clear is better than ambitious. Consistent is better than idealistic. Here is a simple way to think about your plan. Think in terms of daily, weekly, and seasonal care. So for a daily plan, you want to ask, what helps me stay focused each day? It's about having rhythm. Now, I have said a lot, and you may be listening and wondering if this can be your reality. Can I really stop? Listen, you do not have to wait until you break down before you start paying attention to yourself, to your body. Neglecting yourself is not a proof of your love for God or your loved ones. You do not have to keep living in survival mode. There is a better way to live, so you can live with more awareness and serve with more wisdom. You can love your family more by caring for your body, your soul, your spirit, your family, and your career. Because, truth be told, if you collapse and drop dead, someone else will eventually do the things that you think only you can do. So please, build your plan prayerfully. Build it in a way that supports the life that God has truly called you to live in this season. And if you need some support and encouragement for personal growth, or you're going through a time of transition, please visit my website to know more about my one-on-one transformational coaching at www.ijeomaemanyanwu.com. It will be an honor to walk alongside you. But you need to be intentional. Be honest and make the necessary decisions. It may require some uncomfortable changes. You may even need to disappoint some people who have benefited from your lack of boundaries, but it's worth it because the goal is not to just keep functioning. The goal is to live well, to serve well, to remain whole, and to be able to keep going with peace, joy, focus, and strength. So, don't allow this talk to remain an inspiration. Take time after listening to this to actually make a plan. No pressure, no comparison, only honesty and wisdom. Remember, self-care is not about positioning yourself above God or above others. It is about stewarding your life in a way that allows you to keep walking with Him faithfully and serving others from a healthier place. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this time of sharing these words of wisdom. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your people who are listening right now, your daughter, your son listening right now. Lord, I ask that through these words, you will direct their hearts and minds to make right choices, to come up with a practical plan, a workable plan, a liberating plan that will enable them to live and do the things that you've placed on their hearts to do. Thank you, Lord. If there's anyone listening right now feeling guilty, confused, I speak peace, I speak clarity, I speak courage to take a step of faith to do what needs to be done. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for joining me through this series. I pray it has helped you not only think differently, but live differently. Please rate this talk and follow. And if you are on YouTube, please like. Also, comment down below and let me know how this talk helped you. I would love to hear from you. Also, share this with others, men and women who need to hear it. Until my next talk, bye-bye for now.